Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. The first Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Orville Bird, musician extraordinaire. Alive. Yes.
Labor Day weekend. That song was by Celine Dion, I Am Alive. It really goes along with my guest today, who is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She is just a joy to have, and she's a mixture of many, many things. But when I first met Alaria, she came to me when I was looking to find myself. And it's very interesting because we ended up in a class where she was helping me to find myself and also to have some great experiences, not only with angels, but with Native American backgrounds and everything else. We've been through quite a bit together, and I even found out that she makes jewelry and that she works very well with animals. She has a great cat named Cosmo that I just absolutely adore and love. Cosmo is a great cat. So my guest comes from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and to tell you a little bit more about Alaria, she's really a melting pot all on her own. For 15 years, she was in the corporate world, both enjoying management, marketing, and accounting. So, like I said, she's quite a facet of things. She then created her company that is called Divine Spirit Creations, which has allowed her to dig deep down into utilizing the beneficial properties of crystals, designing a lot of jewelry, which I just talked about, that helped her to heal herself. So she does things like crystals, angel theta, and angel DNA healing, mediumship, shamanic work, working with essential oils, herbs, and candles. So we're sisters in that. Communicating with animals and giving parents a better understanding of their children, which is amazing. And she's creating a community for artists, vendors, and everything else. And we're also on Angel's Hotline together, which is a great thing that we worked on together also. So her community has a variety of things like handmade or handcrafted. She's got that type of a community. She's got a mineralogical and lapidary guild. She's an instructor there. She also has angel healing wings, which she works with, and also medicine wind warrior. And like I said, just recently, we're together on angel healing wings. So we've got quite a following and background with each other. And I will have Alaria come on and share her contact information. So if you want to call in and ask us a question, you can at 347-237-5339. So with that, I'm going to bring Alaria live now. Hi, Alaria. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Hi. It's a pleasure to have you here. I'm so happy that you could come on today.
Yeah, well, everything happens for a reason, so I was just kind of taking some me time this weekend, still trying to recuperate after some things that have been going on, so everything worked out for the best.
Everything does happen for a reason. So, yeah, I was just telling everybody a little bit about the many, many things that you do. It's just so exciting, all the fun things that you are doing and the fun things that you are working with. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about what you're up to and how they can get a hold of you?
Oh, all right. And that's the easiest thing is to start off. Best way to get a hold of me is via email or Facebook. Email address is divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, spirit creations, with an S at the end, at yahoo.com. Or you can find Divine Spirit Creations Facebook page on Facebook, obviously, and also soon to be coming back to Etsy.com, and that's Etsy.com. Goodness, I think you pretty much covered the gambit of what I've been doing the last few years. Oh.
That's awesome. Well, and I know our latest thing was the, you know, we're on that Angels Hotline together, which is a really great way to, you know, work with people. And then you have some background with healing of all kinds. So I just love how you have that kind of, you know, one side of you is the accounting, marketing, and the other side of you has the, you know, crystals and, you know, the energy work and the pets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I you know, I've been toying with doing over the years, writing my own book as far as, you know, how I've kind of come to this point or to the point that I'll end up going to, because it really is a very unusual mixture. I like to call it, just say that I'm eclectic. I'm a multifaceted gem. And, you know, typically to kind of lighten it up or make it really, like, easy to understand, I am very much a left-hander, and going through school back in the early 70s, the nuns were still trying to make me into a right-hander, and I wasn't having anything of it. So, you know, I don't know if that was kind of a precursor to being as ambidextrous both with my physical hands as it is with my brain, but, you know, I just figure I'm ambidextrous through and through. I mean, I can, you know, I can sit on the side of the fence where I loved math and science. Love accounting. Very black and white. There's no gray. It's this or it's that, and that there's, it's either spot on or it's a little off. And then I have the right side of my brain, very artistic, the side that, you know, as a kid I would sit out in the fields and write poetry and draw and sketch and, you know, run around outside with the animals and play with horses and that sort of thing. So, to me, it was just growing up well-rounded.
Well, that definitely is well-rounded because, you know, a lot of people that you talk to in the community of, you know, crystals and whatever, I know we find some of them who say, oh, you know, math and that marketing stuff, I don't know, you know, and it's hard for them to manage it. So it must be very cruel to say, well, I can balance that math, you know, that left brain side, and then to have that right brain, well, crystals are cool and, you know, animals, and it must be very cruel for you to have both sides balance, because they say that that makes a very good, you know, well-rounded person, and I would call it a multifaceted, you know, person, because, you know, or just a beautiful gem that, you know, walks among the community to teach the rest of us who are still, you know, trying to figure that out, because, you know, a lot of us are more right brain than left brain, so we have some, mm-hmm. you know, challenges with that.
Yep. And, you know, most people, typically if you're right-handed, you're left-brained. Not always, but, you know, that tends to be the dominant physical side of the brain from the scientific point. But, you know, I think in a way it's, you know, it's like going to the gym and, you know, doing squats or going to, like, an aerobics class. It's just working another part of your brain. It's just, I mean, not to downplay it, but, like, to me, that's just the way I was. I mean, I grew up working out both sides of that brain, which, you know, looking back at it now was very unusual. But, I mean, to me, it was normal as getting up and having a bowl of cornflakes in the morning for breakfast. So.
Right. Well, I would say for a lot of us, you know, that's a really cool thing. And people would say, my gosh, you know, I love it that you have both sides. You know, for me, I had a very big challenge with math. But yet, you know, I knew it was going to come out the other end okay. It's just like they say. It's when you say you're going to learn something and you find the right, you know, puzzle piece in there to learn something, then you do. And, you know, walking among the community, I think that's great that you can offer, you know, even communities and things for people, you know, in the area, and that you have all of this available for people to, you know, learn these different things. And I think it's interesting that you said most right-handed people are, you know, left brain. I have somewhat of a left brain, but a ton of the right brain, and I'm right-handed.
Sometimes that happens, too. I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm left-handed, but I really don't do much. Like, I write left-handed. I do some stuff left-handed, but I'm right-hand
mm-hmm.
dominant. So for me, like, when I played soccer in high school, I was always on the right. I was a right wing on defense. I mean, when I learned to play tennis, I actually, for the longest time, had two forehands. I didn't have a backhand. So for me to try which one was going to be my backhand was difficult. I've tried a few times to learn how to play golf. And for anybody that does play golf, you'll completely understand this. If I play left-handed, I slice it. And if I play right-handed, I shank it. So anybody who doesn't understand golf, basically, regardless of what side I hit the ball from, the ball goes far out and it hooks to the same direction. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that is pretty neat that, you know, you play golf too. See, you have all these different things. I saw, this was back when I was younger and I decided I would be right-handed. I saw that some people were both-handed.
Yeah. Oh, I can write with my right hand. If I try cursive, my cursive looks like a four-year-old. I'll admit it. I can print, like, I'd say maybe an 8 or a 9-year-old. But I just never have really pushed myself to try and do that, and I've never been in that position, knock on wood, yet to where I had to. But, yeah, I mean, I easily could. Like, when I was a kid, I used to wonder why everybody else in my family held their fork with their right hand, so I'd try it. You know, I'd try holding the knife in my left hand kind of thing. So, but, yeah, it's those little things that make you kind of stretch and grow, you know, whether it's consciously or just life experiences that just seem to happen. So it's just kind of.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about, your cat, Cosmo, who sat on a book every time you would put it down, and something about how you could not put that book down. It was like your cat wanted you to read that book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's actually, it was a book done by one of our dear friends, Elsa Stokes, and it's a book called Dare to be Limitless, and it's all about basically, you know, kind of Elsa's life and the inspiration that she drew from it that she can pass on to a bunch of people, just lessons that she already learned and some coping tips, some healing tips. But yeah, like there was a time a few years back where, you know, I was hitting rough patches and every once in a while, like, and I didn't think any of it, you know, I had the book out on the, you know, on the shelf or on the counter or wherever. And I like turn around and there'd be Cosmo sitting right next to it with her paw on the book, just kind of looking at me going, hello. So I'd grab it, open the book, just, you know, not, you know, open the cover and start from page one, just grab it, open it, whatever page it came to, and I'd read that section, and, you know, it'd be very pertinent to, you know, how I was feeling or what I was going through at that exact moment. So it was very helpful. I think, you know, a lot of animals, everybody takes it for granted, whether you think you have a gift or, you know, whether you are completely into the left brain, very scientific minded, know everything has a rationalization. I think animals help us a lot, you know, just day to day, you know, whether it's, oh, you had a rough day at work, you came home, you sat on the couch, you were a little upset, and the dog or cat comes over and sit next to you, or they brush your leg, just kind of a, hey, I'm here for you sort of thing. So, you know, going back to the everything happens in the time and place that it's supposed to, and you keep the energies around you that you need at that moment, whether they're two-legged or four-legged or wings or so.
Very nice. Well, I know you talked a little bit about being an animal communicator, so why don't you share a little bit about what that's like for you and for our listeners, you know, so that they know a little bit more. I mean, I know what I do and I communicate with animals, but I'm sure they would love to hear how you communicate with animals and how they communicate with you.
I guess the easiest analogy would be, let's say if I were to walk into a humane society or a rescue organization. That, to me, if I flip the switch to be able to listen in to the animal voices, it's like walking into a kindergarten class after they've had sugar for snack. It's the, oh, oh, take me, oh, 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 I want to touch you, and oh my God, and can you believe? Yeah.
Yes, I can totally relate to that.
There's a reason, like, animals, you know, regardless of whether it's a, you know, a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old horse, or a 20-year-old cat, or a 2-year-old dog, it doesn't matter the species or the age. To me, I call them all furry kids, because in a way they are, you know, or at least that's the way it relates to me. You know, they have their view of how things are, and it's just a matter of basically me as a animal communicator being almost like a translator. So, you know, depending on where the animal is at in their progress through life, or how comfortable they are in the situation or with me, you know, just like kids or, you know, many of us still do. If I were to say fire hydrant, do you see the word typed out, or do you picture a fire hydrant to know what I'm talking about? Nine times out of ten, you're going to picture that fire hydrant, you know, what you recognize as being a fire hydrant, whether it's red or whether it's yellow or, you know, whatever shape or ends it caps or it has on it. And animals do the same thing. A lot of times they think in shapes, they think in colors. They think in emotions, like, you know, if I were to say, you know, I don't know, spring break, like a lot of people think of like sun and relaxation and it's that like feeling, or, you know, if I were to mention a particular holiday, you're going to think of, you know, you may think of family or, you know, comfort. So, you know, there's that, and animals do the same thing. They think with, they project and they communicate through emotion and through pictures and, you know, sometimes through words. I mean, I've had, you know, conversations the same way I would with, you know, my 8 or 9 year old nephews. But so like I said, it all just depends on basically where their headspace is at, you know, with the situation or, you know, in that point in their life. And as a communicator, the way I look at it, I'm a translator. Because someone, you know, a human that's working with them isn't understanding what they're trying to say. So I basically translate their language into, you know, American English, so to speak, and we go from there.
Right. Yeah, so instead of speaking French or German or Italian or what have you, you know, we speak dog, cat, and bird and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I do also. So that's really cool. And I like how you use the word translator, because you're taking a simple dog bark or a simple, you know, cat meow like I do, and you're turning it into, you know, the verbal of, you know, what it is that they're expressing and they're trying to tell you. You know, I joke with people all the time and tell them, you know, there's going to be a penguin that's going to knock on my door one of these days like you see in Dr. Doolittle.
Mhm. Yep.
And that's basically cool. So how did you decide that you wanted to get into this? Like, what really inspired you to go down the road of, you know, marketing and what have you into the spiritual realm? What got you into all these different things?
Goodness. Well, like, I still basically am in the corporate world. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you know, just like being ambidextrous through school. I mean, I always kind of was in both of those places, even as a kid, you know. And to me, it wasn't a matter of this is good, this is bad. It was, you know, back how I was raised, it was this you talk about, this you don't talk about. So it was fine to talk about, you know, taking biology 2 and accounting and that sort of stuff. It was not fine saying, hey, I know the phone's going to ring in about 5 minutes and it's going to be my grandma or my mother. Or, you know, me thinking, oh, I really need to call my grandmother, and no sooner do I go to almost pick up the handle on the phone and the phone's ringing and it's my grandma calling for me to find out what's wrong. You know, that just, you didn't speak about it. And, you know, even in today's day and age, unfortunately, it's still not spoken of in a lot of places. A lot of kids are like that. But it's considered, quote unquote, not socially acceptable. So we don't talk about it. You know, it sets people aside. It makes you weird. Weird is normal. So, you know, yeah, it was, there was always both sides of it. I may not have put it out there or, you know, been as, you know, I wouldn't admit to it as readily unless it was someone I was really, really close to, whether it be family or friend. But it was always there. I guess as far as actually kind of having, letting that quote-unquote cat out of the bag, it probably happened, you know, a few years back when, you know, after the loss of my grandmother and the loss of my stepmother, who both women I was very close to, in different degrees, and in different ways than my actual mother. But both of those, it was really the only time I ever really dealt with death, whether it was an animal or anybody else in my family. So, I mean, for me, it was traumatic to a degree, but it was, you know, looking back, it was very freeing because it made me question a lot of things about the, you know, standardized religion that I was brought up in, and, you know, kind of made me mentally kind of push those boundaries of exploring different things, exploring different religions, different outlooks, different ways to look at different things in general, whether it was, you know, it spiraled into going, okay, if I'm a Sagittarius and my father's a Sagittarius, why are our personalities so different? Like, why do we look at things so differently? And it was more than just a generational gap. So I looked into astrology with that, you know, and through that, like, just kind of snowballed looking at different things. And it happened to have been, at a workshop that was done at a shop here in Fort Lauderdale on animal communication. And I was like, you know what, sure, whatever. Like, I originally just went to support a friend of mine who had helped brought in the speaker. And went in there and just kind of was like, I'm looking around going, really? Nobody else is having this conversation with his dog? And I didn't even think anything of it until a couple other people in the workshop pointed out, oh my God, the two of you never broke eye contact. It was like you had your own little conversation going on. And I was like, really? Like, it didn't, you know, to me, it didn't faze me, but I was surprised that nobody else had that same experience that I had. So that kind of made me, you know, kind of had me explore that section of it a little bit more and realize how much of it I had kind of put in the box and put in the back of the closet on the shelf because it wasn't supposed to be talked about. So, and it just kind of snowballed from there, you know.
Yeah, it does happen that way for a lot of people. You know, they look at you like it's not socially acceptable, but yet you run around thinking that everybody else is doing it. You know, for me, I thought everybody could do that. So it was like, you know, for me, if you said, well, you know, I'm just having this conversation with this dog and that's normal. You know, if you said, well, I'm just having a conversation with a dog, no big deal. I mean, to me, I would just look at that and go, okay, she's having a conversation with a dog. That's really, whereas somebody else would be like, you're having a conversation with a dog, but how can you understand what the dog is saying? Well, I speak dog, you know, just like you speak, you know, French or, you know, whatever. It's one of those concepts that I think for some people they would be looking at that a little differently, whereas I tell people, you know, you have a certain degree of it, no matter who you are, how scientific you are, you know, whatever background you come from, whatever, you know, religious association you come from, you have it. I like how you took it apart and looked at it. You know, you said, well, I'm going to look at this and see what all I have, because that really goes for anybody. You know, we all have that level of something, and I know it really brought you through some times in your life when you needed healing and when you needed, you know, strength. You found it in those things, like, you know, with crystals and with the animal work that you do. I mean, I know that there are plenty of stories I'm sure that you could share. If anyone comes to mind, you know, feel free to share it about, you know, something beautiful that happened as you were experiencing this.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, and as you know, Amanda, but as maybe, you know, maybe tons of people don't, just like any, you know, any working out any muscle or using any muscle, like there are times it gets very taxing. So, you know, for me personally, if I'm going through, you know, a physical trauma or something else like that, I kind of flip the switch and kind of shut that off just so that I can kind of refocus my energy on whatever's going on so that I can deal with each thing the best of my ability. But, you know, being able to help, you know, somebody else through situations has been, you know, an absolute pleasure. I know I had one lady who I had incidentally run into, and I don't even recall how I had met her, how we had gotten connected, but she had a chihuahua that she had rescued, and she couldn't understand why the dog was peeing all over the house. It was not patterned. It wasn't, you know, one particular spot. It was, you know, she would just pee. Like, they would take the dog out, the dog would go outside, but then the dog would go inside, and the dog was skittish over every noise, every person that walked in. It was just chronic. And I had gone over, I did a house call, as I call them, just to get a better idea of the environment and, you know, to be able to have the animal physically see me and not just go, hey, wait, someone's poking around in my head. So, you know, I went over there and I spoke with the dog, and, you know, unfortunately, the poor thing had gone through a lot of neglect and abuse and, you know, wasn't sure how safe she felt. So it was, you know, a good hour and a half of me going back and forth between the dog and her human and relaying back and forth to them, translating, so to speak, as far as, you know, what one was going through, versus the, you know, and how it made the other one feel. And, you know, I found out maybe like 2 weeks later that, you know, I called back to find out from this person and, you know, how things were going. And she was like, oh my God, like, the dog hasn't peed in the house since. So, you know, that for me was very gratifying to know that, you know, I'd been able to help facilitate kind of that peace between the two of them. You know, and then even just from a personal standpoint, right almost right after, like, I had kind of opened up to the whole animal communication thing, my own cat had been diagnosed with a second form of cancer. And amazingly enough, she had done well with the first type, but, you know, being able to communicate with her, even though at that stage I was still kind of second-guessing it, so I would have other friends of mine that could, that, you know, were communicators. I'm like, can you check in with her? Because I know I'm too emotional. Just like a mother would with a kid. You know, I know the same way as if my mother called me and was like, oh my God, are you all right? You know, yeah, Mom, I'm fine. I mean, I could be in a neck brace and a leg brace and, like, not be able to move and not be able to feel my entire arm, but I'm going to tell her I'm fine because I don't want her to worry. Same thing my cat was doing to me, or at least I was afraid she was doing it. And in a way, she kind of was. Like, she didn't want me to worry. You know, my friends were telling me that they were getting messages from her that she basically just didn't want me upset. But we were able to work through it, and I was able to, you know, find out, like, how much she wanted to do as far as intervention, you know, where her comfort level was as far as getting treatment. And thankfully, you know, with that, luckily, she was very kind of like-minded and actually opened me up to doing more holistic treatments than what I would have initially thought of, because, you know, along my ambidextrous childhood, I mean, I grew up in a very scientific-based household. You know, if there wasn't, you know, medical proof of something, you didn't think about it. You didn't try it. You didn't do it. So, you know, it was very helpful to me and very comforting in the fact that, you know, I knew in the end that I had done the right thing for her. And when she was ready to go, she let me know. So, you know, unfortunately, there's that level of peace knowing that you're helping. And especially, like, unfortunately, there's a little bit of sadness that comes with it because you end up taking on some of that emotional relationship from the animal so that you can relate. Or I'm put in those positions because I can relate with them and understand what's going on. So there's that little, it's a bittersweet relationship that you end up getting with that animal.
Yeah, you really do. And that's very touching how, you know, you were open to learning other things about how to, you know, holistically care for the animal, how to do things a little bit differently, because they are really like family members. And, you know, sometimes you are too close to a situation. You know, I've had people say, oh, really, with this situation, and I think that goes for any type of reading. Sometimes if you're extremely close, you may not get, you know, a really good read on it. So you have to, you know, sort of watch. I like how, you know, there's a technique that we learned about detaching so that you can read too. You know, you do an exercise. And I think that that helps if you're emotionally tied to that particular person or situation. And like you said, sometimes it's just good to have another person to check in. So I wanted to tell you that I'm totally on the same page with you on, you know, checking in with others to be sure how, you know, what you're getting is, you know, coming through the same as your read. You know, it's just kind of good to have a sounding board.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, some of it, I guess initially I kind of did it as a, looking back at it, I was basically doubting some of what I was getting and just wanted to check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, really? Am I really getting that? Or is that something that was I projecting it? Like, is that what I wanted to hear? That was my fear. Because, you know, as humans, you know, if we have to make that decision for another person, we can typically ask that person, okay, what do you want? Like, you know, and it's their decision then. In this case, it's almost, say, like, dealing with a child, you know, and how do you make that decision for that child, you know, not knowing what that child wants or not knowing what their wishes are? You know, how far are they realistically willing to go? Like, maybe not understanding the ramifications or, you know, what the end, you know, possibly could be. So, you know, and then especially with, you know, dealing with a traumatic illness, you know, how do you reconcile yourself with, in theory, pulling the plug on a pet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do
Absolutely.
You how do you draw that
That's
line
one of the hardest,
between quality and quantity?
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a really quick commercial break and then come back. But before we do, I want you to give your contact information out again, and then we do have some callers. So what you need from them in order to take their one question. You know, you can leave us with that, and then we'll go to a commercial.
All righty. Best contact for me is via email, and it's Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, Spirit Creations, with an S at the end, at yahoo.com. As far as questions, I guess we'll just play it by ear. I've had the switch on
okay.
for the last month and a half, so we'll see how much I can get through today.
All right. Well, we will be right back after this commercial break. You are listening to WGGM Radio. My guest is Alaria, and we will see you after the commercial break. We'll be right back.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the...
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki-infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com. Cultivate your spirituality with visionary practices of a higher nature, in your own home and at your own pace. Empower You Metaphysical Academy. Yusui Reiki.
You are listening to Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Amanda.
Okay, you are listening to WGGM Radio. I am your host. This is Messages of Light, and we are back now. The call-in number for questions is 347-237-5339. I'm going to bring back Alaria, and we're going to take some callers. Welcome back, Alaria.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, you ready to take some callers and see what's happening?
Sure, let's go for it.
Okay, our first caller is area code 201. You're on with Amanda and Ilaria. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What can we help you with?
I had gotten an idea for basically like a lifestyle website, maybe even a book, a couple of days ago, and I'm just wondering if it's something that would be successful.
Lifestyle book or website?
Well, it was either or, something, you know, that could be developed into, you know, maybe a website first and then a book, or a book and then a website.
I'm getting a blog and then a book.
Would you say the first thing?
Like a blog?
Okay. Yeah, that could definitely work out.
Yeah. I'm getting that, like, that would be a really good progression to do.
Yeah.
To start off with a blog, and then kind of, that way you can kind of work things out through the blog for the book.
Yeah, definitely. It's something mostly, it is. It's mostly for women, kind of a different take on things, and, you know, dealing with everything, like everything from, you know, health to makeup to, you know, spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting that you'd probably enjoy the blog a little bit more than just a regular website, just because it'd be more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be able to respond quicker, you know, if someone had a comment or a question, and that way, you know, different items, I guess, could, like, expand and maybe, like, take off on their own.
Yeah, it'd probably be easier, too. I'm not so tech-savvy, so.
It's like writing an email is my understanding. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, so you should first start with a blog and then perhaps a digital book.
I think the blog will end up spinning off into a book.
Okay, cool. That's really good information.
Okay.
Thank
you. All right. Thank you very much
You're
for calling.
Welcome.
Okay, Ilaria. Our next caller is area code 646. You're on with Amanda and Ilaria. How are you?
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Kayla, and I wanted to know, how can there be growth between Sean and I?
How can there be growth?
There's room for many things, but how can we grow? If that makes sense.
Are you feeling like your relationship right now has gotten very stagnant?
Stagnant, yeah. I feel there's a little stagnation and a little confusion.
I think basically any relationship can grow as long as both people are willing to kind of have it grow. So now, there's growth at different speeds. Like in the beginning, typically, is when you notice these huge leaps and bounds of growth. And then, you know, over a period of time, it may seem stagnant, but it's really not. It's more of like a comfort level. And I guess the biggest difference would be is if one person feels that it's comfort level and one person feels like they haven't delve deep enough into the relationship. Like they're still looking for that emotional growth. Some of it I would first off recommend some communication on the whole, you know, where we stand, what can we do together. Maybe try like a cooking class or some sort of an activity where it's maybe a hobby or an activity that you both at least enjoy a little, but that would actually kind of get you interacting in a different way. Does that make sense? Does that?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I'm definitely with you. So far, what are you picking up? I mean, outside of my question, obviously, right?
Right now, I think some of it is one of you feels very much like, oh, you know, I'm in like, you know, one of you has reached like the comfy pajama stage and the other one isn't quite ready for it to settle down to that level yet. So I think, you know, like a cooking class or a painting class or, you know, joining like an activities club local in your area, like going kayaking or, you know, nature walks or something where you're interacting with other people, but it's still strengthening your relationship, would help kind of get you both on kind of that same level and kind of balance things out a little.
Okay.
Okay,
that's fair. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Our last caller is area code 443. You're on with Amanda and Ilaria. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
My question is in regard to a relationship. When would I be able to? When do you see me getting into one, like a actual stable one?
Basically, when you're not looking for it. I know it sounds very like flipped, and it's very hard to kind of let that go. Where you're like, no, but I want somebody there and I need somebody there. But any person, like once you get comfortable with yourself and you get to know yourself the best and you're happy, like not needing or not almost dependent on somebody else being there, that's when that other perfect person is going to show up. And then you're both going to click because they're going to see how secure you are with yourself. And they're going to be secure in themselves. And it's just kind of, wouldn't, you know, be one of those, oh, there you are, kind of moments.
Okay.
So some of
are
us
you
just getting, some of us just getting a little bit more comfortable being single. And then at the same time, though, you still have to kind of get out there, whether it's, you know, like I told the other caller, take some, you know, find a hobby that you enjoy and taking, you know, classes or joining like a social group that's in your immediate area, whether it's like a cooking class or, you know, a sailing group or, you know, a horse riding club or, you know, volunteering at a nature center kind of thing. So and that way, too, you know that you'll fall in with people who are like-minded that are, you know, maybe also volunteering or they also enjoy that activity as well. But don't look for it like, oh, is he single? Could I date him? Because it'll happen when it happens.
Okay.
And a lot of times, if you concentrate just on making friends, friendship sometimes will inadvertently build into relationships, or the friends you make in that club, they may know someone. You know, you may be not in the club and, you know, be out for dinner or drinks with a bunch of, you know, your club friends, and, oh, hey, here's my buddy so-and-so, and then the two of you hit it off. It's going to be when you're not actively
like hunting for it,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. So it's there. It'll be there, but not when you're actively looking for it.
Okay. Are you picking anything else up around me?
There's not in your immediate area. You know, I think there's a lot, say, in the not too distant future, depending, you know, obviously on what choices or what venues you go out, that
mm-hmm.
you know, something could be on the near horizon, but I'm not picking up anything like immediately around you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, Hilaria, that was our last caller. I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. And we'll get ready to end the show. Go ahead and give your contact information one more time for everybody.
All right. Contact information, again, is Divine with the Eyes. So DI, so it's Divine Spirit Creations at yahoo.com. I also have a business page on Facebook. So it's www.facebook.com/Divine Spirit Creations. And when I have my Etsy site back up, there will be links on the Facebook page for that as well, along with links for other organizations and groups that I end up doing work with will be on that page. So just remember, everything happens for a reason, whether we like it or not, or whether we see the reason in it or not, whether it's a traumatic event and, you know, looking back, then you may realize, oh, I needed some downtime to kind of recenter and refocus myself and reprioritize. Or, you know, maybe it's just something as simple as, oh, I sprained my ankle, and you're laid up for a couple of hours, but all of a sudden you notice that beautiful plant that's in your neighbor's yard that you've never noticed. So it's, everything has its meaning, and sometimes it's just to notice the little teeny miracles that are all around you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Hilaria. We'll see you next time on WGGM Radio. I look forward to having you on again. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I look forward to being on again as well.
Okay. You have a great day. Take care, everybody.
Thanks.
You're listening to WGGM Radio. Happy Labor Day. Shout out, happy birthday to Mary Jo. It's her birthday today. And we'll see you next time. And we'll get Tina Marie on the show, too. Shout out to Tina Marie and Reverend B. Thank you for, you know, having this wonderful broadcasting, Reverend B. Take care, everybody. Happy Labor Day. Bye-bye.